In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Today, we should invoke Our Lady before we start. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Today, we're going to be looking at the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme, as you'll see when we get into the text, is the theme of the vine. And it's treated in various ways. But we're going to see it's a call to us for repentance. So, we're going to look first at Verbum Domini, number 30, which is in the section, The Interpretation of Sacred Scripture in the Church. The basic principle is one that's intelligible in any human context. If you were to walk into an office building, and it says on the sign, all those who are here for their regular functions should go into door C. Wouldn't make any sense to us. We don't know what the regular functions are. We don't know where door C is. In other words, a certain basic knowledge of the context is important to understand anything written, except like stop. You can get that one without a lot of context. But now, the context of the scriptures is the whole life of the people of God, animated and sustained by the Holy Spirit. And if we're not in that context, the thing is not going to make any sense. Even if I could analyze every word, everyone coming in to do X should go to door C. I know what every one of those words means, but I have no idea what it means in this context. That's the challenge, and that's why the church is the living context for the understanding of the scriptures. And the church now, and the church in its foreshadowing in Israel. If a Babylonian walked in, and tried to read the sacred writings of the Jews, it wouldn't make any sense to him. Basically, as we will see little by little, because the celebration, the movement, the revelation is all taking place through acts of history. And outside the Bible, history is unintelligible. You can study it, you can project certain trends, but for the ancients particularly, religion was to balance the forces of the cosmos. It had nothing to do with the it did have something to do with morality, but not much. So, we're in the second part of it now, and I'm starting with the Pope's document. Saint Jerome recalls that we can never read Scripture simply on our own. We come up against too many closed doors, and we slip too easily into error. Pope's saying what I was saying, and I'm saying what the Pope was saying. The Bible was written by the people of God for the people of God under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Only in this communion with the people of God can we truly enter as a we into the heart of the truth that God Himself wishes to convey to us. It's a we. We understand this text this way. Jerome, for whom ignorance of the Scriptures is ignorance of Christ, states that the ecclesial dimension of biblical interpretation is not a requirement imposed from without. The book itself, the itself is not in the text, is the very voice of the pilgrim people of God. And only within the faith of this people are we, so to speak, attuned to understand sacred scripture. I'm making a lot of this point because so much of the information that we gather from studies in order to understand the scriptures are in themselves extraneous to Scripture. They're reconstructing the history of Israel. They're doing many interesting things, but they're not doing it within the context within which the Scriptures were written and understood. So we can use that information. Some of it's very valuable, especially the philological work and a lot of the historical work. But we have to use it within the context of the living faith of the people of God. So, an authentic interpretation of the Bible must always be in harmony with the faith of the Catholic Church. Thus, Jerome wrote to a priest, "Remain firmly attached to the traditional doctrine that you have been taught, so that you may exhort according to sound doctrine and confound those who contradict it." Approaches to the sacred text that prescind from faith might suggest interesting elements on the level of textual structure and form, as I've already said, but would inevitably prove merely preliminary and structurally incomplete efforts. As the Pontifical Biblical Commission, echoing an accepted principle of modern hermeneutics, has stated, "Access to a proper understanding of biblical text is only granted to the person who has an affinity with what the text is saying on the basis of life experience." Affinity is a key word there. When Baruch Spinoza said we should interpret the Scripture as we would any imaginative literature, he doesn't really have any kind of common life experience. All this brings out more clearly the relationship between the spiritual life and spiritual hermeneutics. Now, he's going to quote another text from the Pontifical Biblical Commission. "As the reader matures in the life of the Spirit, so there grows also his or her capacity to understand the realities of which the Bible speaks." Isn't that true? Look how the mystics, for instance, understand. They don't know Hebrew and they don't know Greek. In fact, most of the great saints and mystics, most of the people in heaven, never learned Hebrew and Greek. Now, most of the people in hell, I don't know whether they know Hebrew and Greek or not. But you see, it's important. It's a gift. It's a pleasure. It's a joy. It's a grace. But the point is that the text mediates the realities, and it's the realities that we experience and understand. And that's how, for instance, John of the Cross is a great expounder of Scripture, because he's in touch with the realities. Okay. The intensity of an authentic ecclesial experience can only lead to the growth of genuine understanding and faith where the Scriptures are concerned. Conversely, reading the Scriptures in faith leads to growth in ecclesial life itself. Here we can see once again the truth of the celebrated dictum of St. Gregory the Great. The divine words grow together with the one who reads them. I think that's really true. My own experience, I can tell you that. But when it's articulated that way, I always remember the saying of Mark Twain. "When I was 18, I thought my father didn't know very much. By the time I was 20, I was surprised to find out how much he learned in 2 years. You see, it's like, oh, these Scriptures are pretty good, you see. Because they've changed? No, because I've changed. So, now, this other line that we're reading now comes from Dei Verbum. "The study of the sacred page should be, as it were, the very soul of theology." A soul is what gives life. You see? Theology that's done by people who have not experienced the divine realities through the sacred text is usually a pretty superficial theology. And really, even the great people of our own day know the Scriptures. De Lubac, von Balthasar, people like that, they know the Scriptures. Does that make their theology infallible? No. But it means at least what they're discoursing about is divine reality, even though they can make mistakes like we all can. This quotation from the dogmatic constitution De Verbum has become increasingly familiar over the years. Theological and exegetical scholarship in the period after the Second Vatican Council made frequent reference to this expression as symbolic of the renewed interest in sacred scripture. It is renewed to when I was a student in Rome. No, it was just before I got to Rome that every year Pius XII would gather all the theological or all the ecclesiastical students in Rome from all the different faculties, Gregorianum, Angelicum, Anselmianum, and so forth. And the one thing he always spoke about every time they met was, I'm glad you're studying St. Thomas, but if you don't study St. Thomas's commentaries on Scripture, you don't know St. Thomas. And that's true. Now you can see that's just beginning to be a discovery, because we have many of Thomas's commentaries on Scripture that are not yet translated, at least into English. Well, many are in, even his commentary on the Psalms is already in French. This is very valuable, because then you notice that Aquinas was a theologian. That is, he expounded the sacred text. And everything else he did was preparation to understand the reality of the sacred text, which is very important. And therefore, it's very necessary for exegetes to know the Catholic exegetical, theological, philosophical tradition. In my day, when things were much better, in my day, we all had to get at least a license in theology before we could start studying at the Biblicum, just so we know what we're talking about, have a sense of it, and the same, and have a living experience of how the great theologians had expressed themselves, you see? And that's why St. Thomas, when he wrote his Summa, said he was writing it for beginners. He was writing it so that they would not be overwhelmed with all the distinctions in Peter Lombard's sentences and so forth, but they would get it in a clear way so that as they moved on to his classes, which were expounding the sacred text, he was a magister sacri pagina, you see, so they had to know, and that's the point of this paragraph we've been reading, they had to have a reflexive and at least a beginner's professional knowledge of the tradition articulated in these other terms before they came to a serious study of the text. And that's very important. So, it's why this is being said now. And as I've already said, you know, somebody who knows the Lord and experiences his ways within himself recognizes the scriptures, recognizes the realities in the scriptures. They may not be able to discourse about them correctly. Now, the ideal is what? To know the scriptures and to know the spiritual realities in your own experience and in the ways they have been articulated throughout tradition. All right? We'll take that up next time.